Okay, shalom, everybody. This is Pastor Sandy at Rishon Messianic Bible College in Long Beach, California, Soldiers for Christ. And we have been, you know, what's that thing they do? We've been since what year? Established since 2000. We've been established since 2004 as a church. And what, about 4 years we started this. I'm gonna have to send you guys pictures of our first graduation class. It was a great graduation ceremony. And so this will be our first graduation class online. And I'm going to give you an instruction because I don't know if I have a picture of all of you, but we are going to do a video with a picture of the graduates, so that people can see who you are, where you're from, and all of the things that you've done as far as the classes. So we do want to make sure that even if you're graduating online, that when we put it on YouTube, that everybody knows and has a picture and a location and a state and a country where that person is from. So we want to make this as beautiful as possible. I'm racing with the rapture, and I know that. So we're going to get it done as soon as possible. And I think we have a few more to grade. I think Jacqua's grading a lot of them as well, right? The presentations. And then she sends them over to me, and I watch them. And me and Pastor Ben are just shocked. Yeah. We're like, we realize how much you guys have learned in this Bible college, in this, and I call it, this is the title of the is Hebrew theology. It's a biblical Hebrew theology, and basically it's using Hebrew to understand the Bible while learning the language. And so it's incredible, and I'm just so thankful to God. I told my mentor, Pastor, I said, well, we have about 300 students now. He said, wow, because how many we graduated? About 8. We started with 28, and then they about a lot of them dropped off. But then, you know, I said, hey, we got a lot of students, Pastor Jones, and he's just so proud. He's the guy that helped me when we first started the ministry. So thank you to Pastor Jones. My mentor over at, what's they call it? Ministry of Reconciliation. Praise God.
Okay. To let them know that we'll give them more detailed information about where to send their pictures and all this stuff next week.
Yeah, we'll give you I think they heard you. But we'll give you all the information on where to send your picture. If you want to take your picture with a cap and gown on, send it with a cap and gown on. That would be awesome if you just want to do it. But send a good picture because it's going to be on screen, so you don't. If you just woke up and just say, take a picture, then we'll post it, but we don't want to.
We'll give you
okay.
All the information next week.
Yeah, okay. Debbie Morrison sent me a map today, and I thought this was a great idea. We're going to get a board for it here in the church. And this map that she sent us is so that we can put pinpoints where all of the students, all the Rishon Messianic Bible students are in the world. And so we're going to do that, and we're going to put little pin marks where we have the most students. We might find out, I think a lot of them in Texas, but a lot of them in the UK too, in Africa and China. Yeah. So we have
and
a
Japan,
yeah, and Japan as well. So we've got a lot of them, Australia, New Zealand,
Austria,
just all over, and in Hawaii as well. So we're going to put pins on that. We're going to put this on the board because we're so proud of that God has been able to do that. Yeah. I'm going to set that there so we don't harm it at all. And then I want to thank you for that, Debbie, and one of our graduates. I haven't seen Debbie's. Have I seen Debbie's video yet? Maybe Jacqua has, but I'll take a look at that. And then, okay, I'm going to call her Yeni because it's Y-N-E-N. I mean, Y-E-N-E. And that's the shortening of her name. But if they call her Yini, I'm definitely going to call her Yini, because her is Yini Yinalim. That's how I think you pronounce the first name. I'm not going to take a chance on the second or the last name. But she is from, where's MD, Pastor Ben?
Maryland.
Okay, she's from Bowie, Maryland, and she sent me a beautiful card, and she just found our YouTube channel, and she wants to really get involved. Yini, I want your email so that we can send you more Hebrew material that you can receive by.
I'll send it to her.
Yeah.
S4ctroops@aol.com.
Yeah, and then we'll send you more information, Hebrew information, so you can start learning. And you're more than welcome to go on our website and go through all of the classes, and you'll be able to learn a lot of the Hebrew just by going through some of the old classes that we've done. Then you have any questions, you'll have my email and we can talk. Praise God.
Amen.
So thank you guys, and thank you guys for so much for me and Pastor Ben are so awkward with this, because we were doing this for 16 years and then all of a sudden we got all these people. And then you guys are donating, and we're like crying, like, we never got donations before. What do we do? But I do want to thank you, you know, thank you guys so much. Because before it was like, you know, if we were late on the rent, we just go, Pastor Ben, how much you and your family can pitch in? And then Pastor Ben would say, well, we can pitch in this much. And then if we late on the rent, we go, well, me and my wife will pitch in this month, and then we'll get the rent. And then, you know, so it was like that. And I was like, we were like doing the Paul ministry, like, you know, we would rather. But I love Paul, because he said he would rather, he does not peddle the word of God. Right. And that's why our Hebrew classes are absolutely free. Amen. If someone wants to give, that's fine, but you're going to get a bill.
Never.
You know, and I think it's worth more than going to some of the universities and doing it, because I've seen their Hebrew classes, and I'm going, and I told the guy, I was like, this is a joke. I said, you can't, this is not Hebrew. This is, you're giving them an introduction, but you're not teaching them how to use the language to study the word of God. And well, anyway, so anyway, God gave me you guys online. I think it's even more better. I mean, it's much better.
Much better.
Okay. So let me pray in, and then we're going to get started on a little talk today, because I could talk about you guys forever. I'm just so thrilled that God has done this. Okay. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer. And then let's get into what I was talking about last night, but with a little bit more detail. Praise God.
Amen.
Avanu Shabbat Shabbaim Yit Kadeshimcha. Tavo Melchuteka Yi Aserot Sanaka. Be Aret Ke Asher Ne Asa Be Shamaim. Telanu Hayom Lechum Hukenu. Usilaklanu Et Ashmetenu. Ke Asher Solehem Anaknu Le Asher Ashmelanu. Vial tevienu le demasa, keim hatsilanu min hara, kilaha hamamlaka, vehagivura, vehativ eret leolame leolamim. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Mother Sharon just walked in. Okay. I want to show you guys something that puzzled me, and I did a Bible study on it before, and had I not done a Bible study on it before, I would have not understood what God gave me after I came off my vacation on the boat. And what it is working a full work week, okay, for a Jewish person. You can work 6 days all you want. Like we think of a work week as 5 days and we get Saturday and Sunday off.
Right.
Jews see it as we work Yom Rishon, and we work all the way till right before evening when the Shabbat starts. And then they're off for the Shabbat, and then when the evening and Shabbat's over, then they can presume and go back to work Yom Rishon again. So Their work days are always six-day work days. And guess who's Jewish? Jesus. And so Jesus is doing the exact same thing. He has a work day. He can work 6 days, but the Shabbat is a day off. And so that's the day that he takes off. And this is the reason why Yeshua is going to take a 1,000-year millennial rest, where he will reign and rule from Jerusalem, and we will reign and rule with him for this 1,000-year millennium. And so he's already secured the thing that I've worked my work week, okay? And since he's already worked his work week, that means what? Now it's time to plan for his wedding, okay? What is that, Chair? Oh. Sharon said, happy birthday. She's trying to whisper. It's Pastor Ben's birthday, and Mother Sharon brought Pastor Ben a happy birthday gift. Thank you, Sharon. Amen. I hope it's food so I can help him. Okay, so that's awesome. Yes, today is the day is Pastor Ben's birthday. So if you guys want to type in happy birthday to Pastor Ben, that is more than welcome. Okay. Now, what am I talking about? Okay, so in understanding a work week, we have to think about God, because God is the creator of everything, right? He created everything. So who is it that created a 24-hour-a-day week? I mean, 24-hour-a-day. I mean, every day will be 24 hours. Who did that? You know what I mean? So we got 12 hours and then another 12 hours, and then we, you know, and then it's another day. So if God is the orchestrator of everything and 24 hours makes up one day, then the person that created one day also created a work week. And then if you got 24 times 6, that is 144 hours.
Yes.
So that is 6 days of work. But what does the scripture tell us? That a day unto the Lord is as what? As 1,000 years, right? Amen. So when we get to Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14, where he says, you know, the tribulation is about to start. And when the tribulation starts, you know what he does? He seals 144,000 Jews from every tribe of the nation of Israel. But I always wondered as a kid, why 144,000? Because the scripture says, and I'm gonna read it.
Where are you reading
from? In Revelation, I believe it's 17:10. I believe it is. No. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to quote it because I don't know if I'll be able to find it. It says, the spirit of the word of God is prophecy.
Yes.
Okay? So when God is, as God is writing, he's prophesying as well about something else. Okay? So if a day is as 1,000 years, then 144 for the one day of week, 144,000 for 6,000. Okay? So it's 144,000. God didn't just choose that number when the tribulation starts. Now he's going to seal 144,000. It's kind of like a celebration that his work week is over. And now this 144,000 are going to take the role of the first fruit.
Amen.
Okay? And they're going to take the role as the first fruit. And now Jesus is preparing for what? His wedding day, you know what I mean? He's preparing for to come back and reign and rule on the earth for 1,000 years, which we will reign and rule with him, okay? And so now the 144,000 makes, I'm like, okay, so the 144,000 is a prophetic number because of the 6 days or the 6,000 years that God has agreed to work. And why is he working? What is God working for? Do you know? Genesis chapter 29. What is he working for? He's working for his bride. And not only he and his work week was specifically for Rachel in Genesis chapter 29. He's working for this bride that he loves. And when his work week is over, he doesn't get the bride that he loves. He gets Leah, who has seven children, the church. So his work week is over, and now it's time to plan his wedding, and he gets Leah, this Gentile. And I'm not saying Leah is a Gentile, but he gets this Gentile church with seven churches, and now we get to be this bride after his work week. But then Jacob, in chapter 29 of Genesis, agrees to do what? He's going to work an additional 7 years so that he can get the bride he really wanted, which we could say is Rachel, but we know is Israel, is the bride that's the apple of his eye that he chose from the beginning, okay? So we're understanding all of this from understanding the 144 years, okay? And the 144 working hours during the week, and 144,000 that he celebrates by naming these 144,000. So he's prophesying about this end of my work week. It's time for tribulation. It's time for me to enjoy my time with my bride in heaven. You be the first fruit now. And somebody say, how is the 144,000? They're simulation of like a first fruit. And we'll read that in Revelation chapter 14. In a little bit. They're kind of like a first fruit because God is, Jesus is like, I'm busy now. I'm on my honeymoon. You be the first fruit and you preach the gospel in the world and you get the Jews ready and you let them know I'm coming back. And so this 144,000 is sent out into the world as a ministry into to the Jewish people, because those are the people now he's focused on.
Yes.
On rescuing.
Man.
Wow.
Awesome.
Okay, so.
So Betty Rollins said, are you sure that they are only Jews?
All Jews. And make sure you absolutely know that. Let's go to Revelation chapter, because this is, somebody said, hey, I got a friend that says she thinks she's one of the 144,000. I said, what tribe is she from? Because she better be one of the 12 tribes. If she's going to be one of the 144,000. And remember, if you want to be one of the 144,000, that means you want to be here during the tribulation. Because the 144,000 are here during the tribulation. They get sealed during the tribulation because they're protected during the tribulation to preach the gospel out to everyone, to Israel, about who the real Messiah is, okay? Now, here, let's go. Let's read Revelation chapter 7 first. Okay. Let's read at the top. We'll start at the top. It says, after this, I saw an angel standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. So if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you got to tell me, if you come to my door and say you want 144,000, I'm just going to ask you immediately, what tribe are you from? Mm-hmm. Okay? And you are also guaranteeing, because he's about to blow the trumpet, that you have gone through the tribulation. He's putting a seal on the 144,000 during the tribulation.
Yeah.
Okay, it says in verse 5, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000. From the now 12 is the number of government. So from the tribe of Judah, 12,000. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Okay? So, those 12,000 are named and the tribes that they are from. So, they are Jewish people. And now, listen what in verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude. Okay? No one could count, from every nation, tribe, and people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And it said, and they were wearing white robes, mm-hmm. and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, this happens on Yom Kippur, okay? Now, they are in heaven. They have white robes on. Is this the church? No. You know how I know this isn't the church? Because he's about to blow the trumpets, because the end of the time, he's about to return to the earth with this group of people, okay? And this is the end of the tribulation. So all of these people who are people, now, when you read it, now watch this, because he's going to ask them. Now watch this. This is how we know. We're going to be at verse 11. It says, all the angels standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, they fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory, wisdom, thanks and honor, power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? Now listen, why would he ask that question? Because the church is already there. So who's this whole other group of people who are being receiving salvation? So he says, hey, he said, I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. The great tribulation is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Okay, this is God's wrath being poured out. Okay, and so it says, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How did they do that? Because they kept their testimony unto death.
Yeah.
You hear that? They kept their testimony unto death. So since they kept the testimony during the tribulation, and guess what else they didn't do? They didn't take the mark.
Amen.
They did not take the mark of the beast. Okay? Now it says, they are before the throne, and they serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. Now, why are they thirsty and hungry? You think the church is going to be thirsty and hungry when we get to heaven?
No.
These people have gone through something. Listen what it says next. It says, nor any scorching heat. The church is not going through scorching heat, hunger, and running. Okay, but they've been through this. And why haven't they been able to eat? They don't have the mark.
Right.
Why are they thirsty? They don't have the mark. Why the scorching heat? Because God sends the heat upon the world. Okay? And it said it scorches them for 6 months. Okay? But these are those that have kept their testimony. Okay? And it says the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When they get there, they're crying because of what they've seen. Okay? These people that are in white robes at the end of the tribulation, that are part of the 12,000, okay? They are there. Now, listen, to understand this whole story, we have to go to Revelation chapter 14, because we're going to see it again. Who? The 12,000. Let's see. Chapter 14. Elohim tov kol hazman. God is good all the time. I think God is awesome that even though you missed the rapture, because you were like, oh, you know, Jesus ain't really that big a deal in my life. You know, I'll read the Bible when I can. I don't like going to church. But during the tribulation, you still got another chance. Right. But during that time, look what they're going through to get their salvation. Okay? They're going to have to go through this torment, this life that they were never supposed to experience.
Amen.
Okay? Now watch this. Revelation chapter 14. It says, then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion in heaven now, with 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. So they got the seal on their foreheads. Then it says, and I heard the sound from heaven like the roar and the rushing water and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of playing a harp, and they sang the song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. They're separate. Okay? Watch. These are those who did not defile themselves with women. They kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes, and they were purchased from among men and offered as a what? First fruit.
Yeah.
As a first fruit. Are they the first fruit?
No.
Jesus is the first fruit. But they received this resurrected body as a first fruit, okay, to God and the Lamb. And it says, no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. So that's the 144,000 servants that serve Christ during the tribulation. And at the end, a seal is put upon them.
Yeah.
And guess what they are? They're raptured up. They're taken up into heaven as what? As a first fruit. What happened with our first fruit? Jesus Christ. He ascended first.
Amen.
Okay, so they're acting as a first fruit during the tribulation. Why? Because Jesus is on his honeymoon.
Amen.
So now they're a first fruit. They go up to heaven. Okay, they go first because Jesus went first before us.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at what happens after that. Okay, then in verse 6, it says, I saw another angel flying in midair. And he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who lived on the earth, to every nation, tribe, and language, and people. Pump our brakes. The scripture says the gospel will be preached throughout the whole world before Jesus returns. That doesn't mean TNN's going to do it or S4C is going to get the word out to the whole world. God says, I have angels that are going to go out through the whole world preaching the gospel, right? To every language, every tribe, and every nation. Because guess what's about to happen? Jesus is about to return to the earth, and he's going to fulfill his word by having the gospel preached to every nation, every tribe, and every language. Pastor, you're saying the rapture's coming, but I know some people in Zugini or wherever that have never heard the word. And so Jesus can't come back until we preach the word to everybody. He can't.
Wow.
The rapture can't happen until the word's preached to everybody.
Again.
No, that you're misinterpreting scripture. Remember, we got to cut on a straight line. He's already said who's going to preach the gospel to the whole world before he returns, and it's these angels, okay?
Yeah.
So it won't be the seventh day of Venice, because they got this thing that they got to preach the gospel, that they're going to preach the gospel to the whole world during the end times, right?
Amen.
And so you got to listen to all these lies that go forth, because they're trying to twist the word of God to have you part of a religion, okay? This is about God's word, okay? He says, I saw flying in midair, and he had an angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who lived on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, and every language of people, right?
Amen.
And he said in a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Now, because you know who's about to return, right? Worship him who made the heavens and earth, the sea, the springs of water. Whew, this is awesome. And it says a second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great. Okay. And all the nations drank of the maddening wine of her fornication. And a third angel followed with a loud voice. If anyone worship the beast or his image and receive his mark in their hand or on their forehead, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out in full strength in the cup of wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rise up forever and ever. See the cost for taking the mark? Yeah. That's the cost for taking the mark. You cannot take the mark during the tribulation. You know why? Because they put a whole nother DNA inside there. And you will never have your original DNA again once they put that mark in you. And this comes from the Nephilim from Genesis before the flood. Because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Yeah. The corruption of the DNA cycle. Okay? So here it says now, it says, and the smoke of their torment rise up forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image. Okay? Or for anyone who receives the mark of the name. This calls for patience and endurance on the part of who? The saints. What saints? The tribulation saints. There's Old Testament saints. There's church saints. And because we see so many arriving in heaven at the end of the tribulation with white robes on, there has to be tribulation saints.
Right.
Okay? And it says, who obeys God, those who obey God's commandments and remain what? Faithful to Jesus during the whole thing. You got to say, I believe in Jesus.
Amen.
Take the mark. No, I believe in Jesus. We're going to cut off your head. I don't care. I believe in Jesus. You'll be called the faithful of God.
Yes.
But I don't want to get to heaven like that. I want to get to heaven like I was ready. I had oil in my lamp when the wedding was, when the trumpet blew, and I just ascended. All of this is unnecessary. If you want to be in the rapture, it's a lot easier than going through the tribulation. Then it says in verse 13, then I heard the voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor. Look, they're laboring, okay? They will rest from their labor, and it says, for their deeds will follow them. Now, look what's about to happen now. Verse 14, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. He's the Son of Man from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. He's the one that's going to come with all power and glory. That's Mashiach.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. So he's already been crowned. Who crowned him? The church.
Yeah.
Remember, he's been reigning and ruling in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. Mm-hmm. Now he's about to come back. He already has a crown. Okay. Then it says, then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because
the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. What harvest? The fruit harvest, which is Israel now. Yeah. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Yeah. Okay? So now he harvests the earth, okay, with a sickle. Remember, when the church is harvested, they'll harvest it with a winnowing fork.
Right.
Because that's your other harvest, right? That's your wheat and your barley harvest, right?
Amen.
But now you got this fruit harvest, and he's cutting the fruit off the sickle, and he's harvesting it up. Because the vine, which is Israel,
yes,
all the fruit harvest, this is the tribulation harvest, okay? A lot of Gentiles in the tribulation harvest,
yes,
too, okay? So now he pulls them up, and then it says, another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And it says, still another angel it was in charge of the fire, came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle. Take your sharp sickle and gather the cluster of grapes from the earth, because the grapes are ripe. He already harvested the good grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these grapes? The angel swung his sickle on the earth and gathered the earth and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. And they were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridle for a distance of 16 thaddeus. So, he comes out of the temple, the angel. This is what I want you guys to know. The feast days are still on, okay?
Yes.
The feast days are not over. The feast days are still on. When it's Passover on earth, it's going to be Passover in heaven.
Yes.
Okay? When it's Yom Kippur on earth, it's Yom Kippur in heaven. This is why... this angel goes into the temple and gathers the incense from the temple, because he's going to create a cloud.
Yeah.
Why? Because when Jesus returns, what's he going to return on? On a cloud. Okay? This is what he said in Matthew. So all this is in time. If you read Revelation 15, which we're not going to right now, you'll see that a Yom Kippur service is going on in heaven right before he comes. And what's the Yom Kippur service? To take the incense, put them on the fire, the altar, the fire of the altar, create a cloud so that whoever is in the presence of God at that time, mm-hmm, that they will not die when they see his presence. Yeah. Okay? So Jesus is coming back on a cloud. Why? To protect the ones that he does not want to hurt when he returns, because the cloud is to keep you from seeing the face of God and dying. And he's coming back to rescue.
Amen.
Okay? He will send out from his mouth the judgment on who he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the cloud is for a reason. You got to go back and read about your Yom Kippur service and the incense and creating a cloud and why it was created. It's to protect us.
Yes.
That's why he's coming back on the cloud. Okay. Now, we get back to the 144,000. Did God just decide, hey, let's put a seal on. Let's see. what number should we use? I don't know. What do you think? Anybody got a suggestion? How about 144,000? No, that's God has lined it up. Why? He's prophesying this 144,000. Why?
Well,
who's coming back to rescue? Now, see, this is it. Jesus is coming back to rescue. Okay? Who was almost killed when they were a baby and they had to hide him before the king killed all the babies? Who was that? Moses or Jesus? Both.
Right.
Right? Right. So, who was it that was on the hill with his hands out? And as long as his arms were on Calvary with his hands out, he won the victory.
Both.
Okay? Who is it that after his own people rejected him went off and married a Gentile bride?
Both.
So we're talking about Jesus and Moses being the same person. Now, here's the quick question, and you have to go listen to this. If you haven't heard this message, you're not going to understand. How long did Israel serve as slaves in Egypt? 144 years, not 400. Go back and look at the Bible study. 144 years. How long did Jesus work before he's going to come back? 144,000. So now he comes and rescues Israel after the 144 years. He comes and rescues Israel after the 144,000. And so Jesus and Christ are mimicking each other. The last thing Moses did was what? Build the tabernacle. The last thing Jesus is going to do, land on earth and build the tabernacle, which he will sit in, reign and rule for 1,000 years. Okay? So the 144,000 is correct. So this is the thing that God gave me. Watch this. Attention, 144,000. The number 144,000 is hidden time stamp of a people who sing the new song. The new song is already been sung, right? So this 144,000 is going to sing the song when they get to heaven, right? A major coincidence hidden in our eyes for centuries. Because what is it? The 144,000 is a time stamp. Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't, then 144 hours on a 6-day week would mean nothing. Or 144 years of serving in slavery would mean nothing if the 144,000 is not a prophetic time stamp on the 6,000 years.
Amen.
I hope you guys are enjoying this, because this is all beautiful, even to me. Now, it says, so 6 literal days, 144 hours. Okay, 24, 24, 24, 144 hours. Okay, 6,000 years, 144,000. Christ is about to return. Now, this is what the Lord asked me to do, and I did a whole message on this, and I was like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? He says, divide 365 days, 0.242, into 6,000, and tell me what number you come up with. And so I did it, and it came out with 16.42465303617 for the year 2017. Okay, meaning that the Lord was like, okay, so 667 in 2017 was the beginning of Pentecost, which I thought was weird. But I said, what about 16? What is that for? 16 is the letter ayin in Hebrew, meaning you will see. What are you going to see? You're going to see something. What is the 16th letter ayin? What's the numerical value of the 16th letter? 70. So here's another prophetic line, right? You're going to see in the 70th. You're going to see. When are you going to see him? In the 70th year. Are we in the 70th year? Yes. Okay. Now, I did this study before, and I knew, okay, that's Pentecost. 667 in 2017 was Pentecost, the very day. But my question to God was, what's the 16 for? And I knew it was iron, you will see, but iron has a numerical value of 70. And we're in the 70th year of the 70th birthday of the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Okay? So now it becomes even more apparent that 117 was not to mark a date. 117 is a code to mark an event. Because in Genesis, this event caused the flood. One man went up with seven others, and they were rescued. Noah and seven others. The 117 in Psalms, which divides the Bible, means that Yeshua goes up with seven, the church, and then that's the end. So the full circle of Genesis, like Jesus says, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. One goes up with seven, one goes up with seven. Okay? Is it a judgment? Seven plus one plus one is nine. One plus one plus seven is nine. So rather you do it this way or that way, it's a circle, but it all leads back to what? Judgment.
Yes.
So then God says, I'm going to show you more. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. 28 chapters, 16 chapters, 24 chapters, 21 chapters, 28 chapters. Acts is the end of the gospel story of the Gentile story. He said the end of it is the 117 of the Gentile story. And Jesus ascends back up to heaven in Acts. Okay. And so now that 117 comes out again. Then you get to the craziest 117 prophecy that God has placed in the Bible, because there are many prophecies that prophesy the rapture, but only one does it with this much detail. And that's the Song of Songs.
Yeah.
Okay? Because the Song of Songs tells you that the bride goes out to the nut grove in the spring looking, and the chariots from heaven take her up immediately. And Israel asks her to come back, and they say and Jesus says to Israel, why are you asking the church to come back? Go and do what you did in Mehanim, because what you did was you promoted someone else to be your king.
Yeah.
And his name was Ishbosheth, a defiled man. So he's showing you that whole scenario in Song of Song, which just happens to have exactly 117 verses in 8 chapters. New beginning. How many in the boat? 8. How many in the rapture scenario? Jesus and 7 churches. 8. Right? So he puts 8 chapters. So he's coding this. He says this is a code. Then he says, I'm going to detail it even more. I'm going to make sure that this whole chapter has 5,148 letters. Divided by judgment, it's 572. And I'm going to make sure that it has 1,251 words. Divided by the judgment, 139. What's that going to equal out to? The same number of Genesis 7:1:1, the judgment coming. So we're in the 70th year, and God has coded this thing and has given us.
Crazy.
I'm giving it to you. Remember what the scriptures say. It is the glory of God to hide a thing.
Yes.
It is the joy of what? A king to search out a matter.
Yes.
But you can't search it out if the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to search it out.
Amen.
And that's what God has done for me. And I'm loving it. And I'm glad you're loving it. This is why I love Rashawn Messianic Bible College students, because you love the word of God. And you are going to be thrilled to watch it come true right in front of your eyes in the 70th year. That is the end of this Bible study. We'll see you next week. Remember, we need a picture, but we're going to give you more details about how to send the picture in, whether you want to wear a cap and gown, because we're going to put it up, and we're going to put a little information about you on your picture as we're running the graduation ceremony, okay?
Amen.
And you will receive your degrees in the mail, and everything's going to be beautiful. Thank you for joining us. Let me pray out, because Elohim Achavalachim, God loves them. Okay, and stay away from crazy ministries. If you have a question, please ask me. If something sounds weird, it's because the Holy Spirit is saying, this sounds weird, right? Say, the Holy Spirit said, okay, go ask your pastor and see what he says, because your spirit is going to agree with your Holy Spirit to make you uncomfortable with something that he knows is not right. Because some other lady named Sarah something, Bailey or something, I don't know what, but she was sending out the new Scotty Clark doctrine that none of the Bible is meant for us, only the part that Paul preaches. And so the five Gospels aren't meant for the Gentiles, and all this stuff is not meant for the Gentiles. And so remember, keep your eyes open, because when they asked Jesus, the first thing he said was what? Make sure that you are not deceived. Okay.
Yes.
That was his first statement before he started. Okay. Because many will come in his name claiming I am from Christ or I am the Christ. Okay.
Amen.
So here we go. God said to Moses, Moses, when you see my people, bless my people and say to them, Yivarekha Adonai Vishmarekha, Yair Adonai Panavilecha Vehuneka, Yase Adonai Panavilecha Veyasim Lakai Shalom. And that means the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Leitriot Beshavu Haba. And maybe we're going to have the breakfast club again, or I don't know, Pastor Ben, because we got to keep this going until we leave. Praise God.